Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I think about what the end is going to be. But I want the church to know tonight I'm not going to turn around. I've been on this journey for 36 years. And I'm not tired yet. In fact, we're going to sing a song in a few minutes that said I don't feel no way's tired. But every time somebody asks me and say, what you going to do after 36 years? Where are you going from here? You know what I tell them? I believe I run on.
Check.
Somebody waiting. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour on Blog Talk Radio. It is Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. We thank God for all of you who are in the building, those of you who are in on the line, those of you who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this lesson long after it's been recorded. We thank God for you. I'm going to switch microphones right quick because I think I'm getting a lot of feedback from mine. I'm going to switch. Give me 1 second here, and I'm going to switch microphones right quick. There we go. Good afternoon. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. It is a wonderful time for us to come together for Bible study. I hope you all can hear me. Can you hear me? I'm going to open the line just to make sure that people can hear me. Can everyone hear me? Say so. If you can hear me, say so. Can you hear me? Can everyone hear me? All right. We're using a new computer. My old one broke down on me. So I hope everyone can hear me. I hope you can hear it well. I am speaking to you directly from a new computer. Anyway, it's Tuesday, March the 5th, 2024, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. We thank God for you tonight. We thank God for all of those
of you on the line.
I think you can probably hear me better now. So I thank God
for all of you who are on the line tonight.
We pray God's blessing upon all of you listening, those who are here, I'm going to open the line just to make sure that everyone can hear me.
Area code 919 2314 last four digits. Can you hear me? 2314, yes, I can. Okay, is there an echo? But it's echoed. Everything you say, it keeps echoing back.
Okay, let me see if I can fix that.
Okay.
How about now?
Oh, still that's echo? Good.
That's better?
No. Yes.
Is that better?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good. We'll go with that then. I don't know what's going on. I got a new system here, and I'm trying to get used to that. So everyone can hear me, so I'm glad of that. Our lesson tonight is in 2 John. We're going to start in 2 John. Last week we were in 1 John. Of course, First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. We do invite you to come and be with us this coming Sunday. This coming Sunday is Family and Friends Day. And we invite you to come and be with us for Family and Friends Day. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. We have a wonderful guest coming, Missionary Baptist Church there in Holly Springs. Reverend Cobb and his congregation will be with us. And we're just going to have a great time in the Lord. You are cordially invited to come and be with us Sunday morning, 10 a.m., as we celebrate Family and Friends Day. Of course, you can go to our Facebook page. You can find more information about First Baptist there. You can also find the Bible study link and the number for the call-in. That number is area code 845-241-9839. Area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number, and you can listen or speak directly to us in the Bible study tonight. We're in 2 John. Our lesson is called Walk in Truth. Walk in Truth. 2 John, we're going to start in the first verse and work our way down. Now, John talks about an elect lady. He writes this letter to the elect lady. And many scholars believe that the term elect lady refers to a Christian matron by the name of Lady Electra, which is a Greek term for a woman who's called chosen. This matron lived somewhere in Asia Minor where John's churches were located. And then there are other scholars that say that the elect lady is not a person at all. It's the church. It's the church that John started, those churches that he founded. And so he addresses his letters to the elect lady. And not only that, he addresses it also to her children, being the church members. If it's the church, that means the church members. One reason for writing this letter was to warn and to let them know about deceitful teachers. This church apparently hosted traveling preachers, or maybe even church meetings in their in their homes or in their private settings. And John wanted to let them know that there were certain things that they were not supposed to engage in, and to have caution against erroneous teaching. He proposed that the church not support anyone who teaches less than the full deity and the humanity of Jesus Christ. You see, in 2 John, aging apostle begins to bolster, warn, and encourage. He talks about deceptive influence who had traveled through the area at the expense of both the church's material and spiritual welfare. In the days of the early church, not everybody believed Jesus was fully human and fully divine. Some only proclaimed his divinity, while others only claimed his humanity. In 2 John, the issue lay with those who did not profess Jesus to be fully human. And there were many doctrines that did not accept the physical form of Jesus. They simply thought that Jesus probably was a vision that was sent from God. They did not see him as a real flesh and blood human being. And many churches and many leaders were being taught this concept that Jesus was not a real human being. In this second epistle, John wants them to know that this is ungodly. This is an ungodly perspective. It's a wicked behavior that stemmed from the teaching of those who were trying to mislead them. The apostle encouraged true believers to keep the faith. He warned the followers to exclude dissidents from their fellowship so that not to be accused of sharing in their diabolical work. John's Christology and ethics presents a challenging affirmation and critical commandment for us who are believers. The message emphasizes that those who have the wrong teaching do not belong to God. And this is what this letter in this second John is all about. John simply is writing this letter to let the church know, or in this case, it may be a lady. We don't know for sure. He calls her the elect lady. It could be one person, or it could be the church. We don't know. The Bible does not tell us exactly who this elect lady is. As I said before, there have been scholars who have said it's one thing, and there have been scholars who have said that it was another. But in any case, John wanted them to know not to entertain those who would come with false teaching and those who did not recognize the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ. To remain faithful to Jesus, we must understand that Jesus was human and he was divine at the same time. So let us go to that first verse. Here, that first verse simply says that to the elder, unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. Verse 2, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Let's go to verse 3. Grace be to you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and in love. As I said before, our lesson tonight is called Walk in Truth. Walk in Truth. John begins this letter with the common introductory of greeting, as the apostles do. He's talking about, he gives the great greetings that they do. He addresses himself as an elder. Recipients of this letter considered to be the elect lady. This woman or this church could have been a host or a leader of a particular Christian church. John declares his love for her and her children. So it could be a woman and her children, or it could be the church and the congregation of the church. Either way, John wants this letter to go out knowing that she's talking about walking in love. This love is qualified by being in the truth. It is not clear whether they are biological children or children of the Lord. He then states that his love is not particular to him, but universal to all who know the truth. This love is motivated by truth that dwells in all who loves the truth and the fundamental principles of the gospel. John here gives personal qualities to the truth, perhaps as a way of referring to Jesus Christ, who described himself as the way, the truth, and the life. You'll find that in John 14 and 6. John says this truth will be with us forever. It is an eternal truth that lives with us. It is more than just objective facts. It is living, breathing truth. John concludes this introduction greeting with a standard well wishes of grace, mercy, and peace. What distinguishes him from the New Testament writers and all the others who have written to the church is that John includes himself in the well wishes. He says this grace, this mercy, and this peace will continue to be with us, the ones who know the truth. This grace, this mercy, this peace are not just from John and do not rest in his mere humanity or his human words. They come from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 4. He says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. Characteristically, as a shepherd, John's heart is highly elated at the constant Christian life the members of the congregation to whom he writes. Walking here, when he says walking in truth, is not just walking around, but living. When he says walking means that's your habit of living, your individual life. The use of the word truth here implies your ethical notation. If you are an ethical person, people who tell the truth are ethical. So in other words, he says you've got to live your life in truth with ethics. To walk in truth involves belief and behavior. Let me say that again. To walk in truth involves belief and behavior. Walking in truth conveys the image of a path of one who walks on and keeps on course without deviating. If you're going to walk in truth, that means you're going to stay on course. And you're not going to deviate to the left or to the right, but you're going to stay on the right path. The tense of this word indicates a perpetual pattern of healthy spiritual life. The truth that John talks about did not originate with mankind, nor even with the apostles themselves. This truth originated with God. This truth originated in divine revelation, and so is commanded through God for us to obey it. See, John's epistle, both the truth and the commandments are synonymous. Look at verse 5. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we heard from the beginning, that we love one another, that we've heard that over and over again. You see, John proceeds from commendation to exhortation based on personal request. He appeals to them. In other words, he entreats them. He says, I beseech thee. In other words, he's begging thee. I say, I appeal to you to receive this, the commandments and that affirms the urges of us to understand and to hear what he has to say. He said, this is nothing new. I'm not writing a new commandment yet. This commandment was given to us many decades ago, many years ago. And I'm not writing anything different. I'm not trying to add nothing. I'm not trying to take nothing away. John is simply saying that I want to remind you. I want to remind you of that commandment that we have received so long ago, to believe in the full humanity and the divinity of Christ and his redemptive mission, and to demonstrate brotherly love and proof of our new birth. And this is what John is talking about. He wants us to receive this, not to think that it's some strange. Because you got to remember, in that first century, there were many concepts of religion, even of Christianity. There were many concepts of Christianity. A lot of people thought that Christianity was one thing, and many people thought it was another. And there were mixed concepts and mixed ideas about Christianity. And John here writes to straighten a lot of that out, because a lot of it was hearsay. A lot of it was old wives' tale. A lot of it was something that people heard from somewhere, and they passed on to another generation and then to another generation. But John here says, I beseech thee to hear these, not as a new commandment, but as a commandment that we have heard from the beginning. Look at verse 6. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that you shall have heard from the beginning. You should walk in it. As I said before, the word walk means to live. Doesn't mean that you're actually walking. It means to live in it. John pursues the line of argument of his first letter, that Christian love is more than emotion. It is action. Remember, we talked about that last week. Love for God and Christ is expressed in particular obedience. John 14 and 15, John 21, John 15 and 10, Romans 8 and 8. Jesus summarizes the whole law in the greatest commandment, which is love. Here, John urges a continual walk in love, that you follow love. In the second part of this message, John draws the attention of the church to the threat from without, false teaching. He shifts focus from the true believers to the false believers, from the wheat to the tare. John describes the heretics that identify their error and warns to neither be deceived by them nor to give them any way or sway in listening to what they have to say, and not even encourage them. Don't even encourage people who speak ill and not know what they're talking about. Many times we run across people who have never darkened the door of a church, never picked up a Bible, and they want to tell you what the Bible said. They want to tell you what thus saith the word. They never opened the Bible. They've never darkened the door of a church, but yet they have some idea as to what the Bible is saying and what we should be doing as Christians. Here, John tells us not to even encourage that. John commands that we have watchfulness. He urges the believers to remain loyal, not only in love, but also to the teachings of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. For many deceivers have entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. John affirms the appearance of false teachers in the world. He describes the fake teachers as deceivers, and he also calls them antichrist or the deceiver or an imposter or a corrupter. This is a repeat of the earlier warning against deceivers and many antichrists that was given in 1 John 2 and 18. An antichrist is literally someone who is against the Messiah, against Christ. Antichrist means one who is against Christ, against the anointed one. This is not a separate category of people from the deceivers, but instead those who deceive concerning Christ's nature, opposed to Christ, and are described with both of these terms. They're described as antichrist, and they're described as deceivers, and they're also described as false teachers. The errors of these heretics are both moral and doctoral. The latter is that focus here that he wants us to understand that when we talk about Jesus Christ, when we confess that we know Jesus Christ, we confess that we believe that he is the Son of God, when we confess that with our mouths, we are confessing truth and we're walking in truth. You see, a heretic denies that. A heretic denies the incarnation of Christ as fully man. A heretic will never say that he believes in his heart and testifies with his mouth that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he died and rose on the third day and sits at the right hand of the Father. He will never say that. They will always have some type of concept as to, well, how did this happen? Well, how did that happen? If he is this, then how come this happened? If this, you know, all, that's that heretic concept when they don't accept the teachings that have come down throughout the ages. Look at verse 8. Look to yourselves, that ye not lose not those things which have been wrought, but that you receive a full reward. This is the first command of the letter, a warning to be on guard. The present imperative of this word simply means that we have continual watchfulness to prevent disaster. He says, look to yourself that you lose not those things which you have wrought, those things that have come into place. John commands us to reject the enticement of error for two reasons. To prevent the ruin of what both we have and John has worked for, and to assure that they would be paid their reward in full. This is why he said, don't be deceived. Look to yourself. You've been taught the right thing. You've heard it all your life. Why would you let anyone come to you at this stage in the game and try to take away all the things that you have learned, all the things that you have God has given you over the years? If you do that, you want to receive that reward. And that reward comes from faith, not from doubt. Look at verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Two contradictory consequences of this heresy or this false doctrine. The negative is first mentioned. He says here that those who transgress literally means those who are not true to the Word of God or claim that the Word of God is not true. The false teachers were trying to change the core doctrine of Christian belief. There will always be people who will try to change the core doctrine of Christian belief. There will be always those who want to ask questions. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with asking questions, but so many questions have been answered in the past. Why do they keep bringing up the same old question over and over again, thinking that the answer is going to change? The opposite is also true. To remain continually in the doctrine or teaching of Christ, showing belief in, obedience to, at the same time, is proof of a believer's personal relationship to both the Father and to the Son. I have had many conversations about the Bible. You know, a lot of people would like to question you about how did a dead man get up after 3 days? How did that happen? And maybe this happened, and maybe that happened. Maybe he wasn't dead. Maybe they stole his body. Maybe this happened. You know, this is what the Roman soldiers said after the crucifixion. There will always be those who will try to contradict or come up with some type of way of explaining. And a lot of them are men of science. They cannot accept things that cannot be explained in scientific terms. And because it cannot be explained in scientific terms, many of them are not willing to accept the teachings that are coming through from a theological or a spiritual perspective. Look at verse 10. If there come any unto you, bringing not this doctrine, receive him not into your house. Neither bid him Godspeed. Wow. John said, don't let him in the house. And don't bid him Godspeed. For that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. John adds a practical note after warning about deceivers. He says that the church is not to receive these deceivers in their house. He then goes even further to say that if you should receive these deceivers in your church and you bid them Godspeed, well, God bless you. God bless you, child. God bless you, preacher. God bless you, deacon. You came and brought the word. And that word was not the word of God. You know, we do that sometimes. This is the word that he speaks to us. Don't be bidding folk Godspeed who came in and did not speak the truth about the Bible, did not speak the truth about Jesus Christ and God. You know, we do that all the time. He sure did preach today. He ain't said nothing about God. He ain't said nothing that relates to your life with Jesus Christ. And so, you know, and particularly us African Americans, we are so eager to be pleased. We are so eager to be satisfied that we'll take anything. We'll take anybody's word. All they got to do is wear a collar backwards, call themselves bishop or apostle or this, that, or other, and Lord have mercy, we're ready to fall down at their feet. And every word that dripped from their lips got to be gospel. But John here said, don't even entertain that mess. Don't even go there. If you know that they're speaking stuff that you ain't never heard before, nothing that you cannot correlate with the word of God, that you cannot look up and distinguish to be true, then don't even deal with that. Don't be talking about that was good. We bid you Godspeed. That's pretty rough on John then. The reason behind this action toward false teachers is that by receiving them into your home or into your church or wishing them well, you partake of that false teaching. You're part of that false teaching. You advance that false teaching. You let others know that you're a part of that false teaching. So don't even entertain that. Don't even act like that's something that you enjoy. Look at verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that your joy may be full. Verse 13. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Well, here John concludes his letter by letting the church know that he has much to write about. Of course, you can't write about everything. Beloved, if the Bible had everything that everybody said in it, we couldn't even pick it up. You know, it would be way too heavy, way too big. So John said, there's a lot of things that I like to tell you, but I'd rather tell you face to face. He does not want any confusion or misunderstanding concerning what he says, so that he says, your joy may be full. He includes himself in this experience of having this joy, this full joy. This word means to have complete joy. Joy that satisfies your spiritual soul. John and the church's joy will be completed once they talk face to face. John finally ends with a salutation from the children of the elect sister. These might have been the biological children of a woman related to the elect lady or converts of the church. This is what makes me think, and this is just my personal opinion. I am not stating this as a fact, because I said before, many scholars are still debating this. But it's my personal opinion that John wrote this elect lady to the church. And when he says your sisters, I'm thinking that he's talking about the churches in other places, like the churches in Laodicea, the churches in Ephesus, the churches at Corinth. These are the sisters of the churches that John is talking about. So I think that that's what he means when he says your sisters as well. Here, John wants us to understand that it is important for us not to entertain those who would come with false teaching. John's, as I said before, John's Christology and ethics represent a changing, affirming, and critical commandment for us as believers. We must hear what John has to say in these letters, that John is speaking directly to the house of God. John wants us to have the full understanding and the full description of what we need as Christians. And so many times today, the church has been inundated with false teaching. To remain faithful to Jesus and remain faithful to his teaching, it requires a tendency to commit to study in God's word. When you study in God's word, can't nobody tell you nothing. If you know it for yourself, it also means obeying his commandments. We can also help others who do not know the truth through our testimony and sharing the good news of the gospel. We need to make a decision to share our testimony about how God transformed our life. The important theme of belief, obedience, and love treated in this first letter of John is also central to the second and third letter. John's second letter contains his main message. John manifests concern for the inner life of the church and for the doctrinal dangers and the threats that come externally into the house of God. He urges us to be watchful and walk in truth. That's our lesson for tonight. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to speak tonight. Maybe you've read this particular scripture before. Maybe you're well-versed in it. Maybe you have heard others talk about it. Either way, I want to hear what you have to say about this particular scripture tonight. I'm going to go to, let's see. Let's start at the top here. Error code 910. Last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
Good evening. How are you?
Fine. And you?
Good.
I enjoyed the lesson tonight. I have on 2 John 10 and 11 when he was talking about when John was talking about the false teachers who come to our doors and do not receive them or greet them. I thought about, you know, how people go door to door. I've seen Mormons, the guys with the white shirt and the black, and then Jehovah's Witness also come door to door. So John here is saying, is John here saying that we're not supposed to entertain what they have to say?
That is a perfect example, Deaconess Rainey. I had not thought of that. You're exactly right. That's a perfect example. Because you got to
show them more hospitality.
Right.
Because he was saying to show them hospitality is to take sides with those who are against our Savior. So those are two groups that I thought about, and that's what I was wanting to know is, I mean, is that what John is saying in the letter?
That's exactly what John is saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he's saying. I hadn't even thought of that, but that's exactly what he's saying, because if these people, the two that you spoke about, the two religious groups that
those two that have seen that I know about that goes around.
Right.
I'm sure it's many more, but those are just two that came to mind.
Right.
My mom has a good friend that they grew up together with Jehovah's Witness, and before COVID, you know, they would come down, and she would come, and then they would first, you know, they would talk about the family, this and that, and then, you know, they have to talk about the reason they're here, and want to give you a brochure and all that, and you've been approached in the streets at the laundromat, any place, people might come and want to give you a brochure or something like that.
Yeah,
and so that was the first thing I thought about whenever I read this.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't thought about it. That watchtower. They put that watchtower in your hand in a heartbeat. Exactly. You're right. Thank you so much for that. I hadn't thought about that, but you're exactly right. That's exactly what John's talking about. Exactly. Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers and everyone. Yes, I'm here.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I have truly enjoyed the lesson this evening, and you know, as you were speaking, it kind of made me think about, you know, there's some people who don't necessarily call themselves atheists, but they don't believe because they don't have faith because they can't see God, or, you know, have not seen Jesus. So they you know, always try to talk against it because, again, they just don't believe. They don't have that faith that they should have, you know, to carry them through. So I got to thinking about that as you were speaking.
Exactly. Thank you. Absolutely. That's the main reason why a lot of people don't understand, because they don't have the faith. You're right. Eric, right. 919, last four digits, 2314. Trustee Mangum, is that you?
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
I enjoyed the lesson. I really did. I just have a couple of things to say. We should not bend or twist the truth. Mm-hmm. You know, to our advantage. Sometimes, you know, we do, you know, people do that, but see, that is really, you know, God hates a lying tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he really is doing. And sometimes speaking the truth is sometimes hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there are times in which we should lovingly speak the truth, even when others don't appreciate it or they might be hurt by it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And really walking in truth really means to bring our lives in conformity with God,
yes,
with his truth. And, you know, we should stand firm in the truth of God's
mm-hmm.
word and teach the truth plainly.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing here, we know God's enemy, Satan, he always
mm-hmm.
tried to lure people away from the truth, because that's the same thing that he did with Adam and Eve when he told them
mm-hmm.
lies about God's intentions. And so
mm-hmm.
Satan tempted them into disobedience.
That's right.
So, and he's still trying to deceive people today.
He never gives up, does he?
Mm-hmm. Give up.
Never give up. Thank you so very much. Thank you. Exactly right. Let me ask you something, Trustee Mangum. Do you think, and I'm just thinking your personal opinion, do you think he's talking to an elect lady, a one person, or you think that letter went to the church? You think that either way is fine. There's no wrong answer. I'm just asking, how do you perceive it?
I was reading some of the background stuff, and I think that the elect lady, he was to the churches.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do too. We could be wrong, but the Bible does not tell us exactly who that is. I know we hear some people use that term referring to a particular person, but we don't know who that letter was actually written to. But when he talks about the lady and her children, I just don't believe he's talking about one person and her children. I think he's been talking about the church itself, and the children are the congregation of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly mm-hmm. when I got down to that last verse, when he talked about your sisters, you know, he didn't say nothing about sisters, you know, this lady having sisters, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so very much, Trustee Mangum. Thank you. Area code 984, last four digits, 9634. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers. I'm here.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I was looking online when it, and I was looking at what does it actually mean, as you were saying, you know, to walk in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across this, and it was very interesting to me, and it definitely goes along with the lesson. And it said, it means that we enter each day with our minds renewed, having spent time reading the scriptures and praying so that our thoughts, I like this, so that our thoughts are the ones that God wants us to dwell on. It says we enter each day with our minds renewed, mm-hmm. having spent time reading scripture and praying so that our thoughts are the ones that God wants us to dwell on. And it says also that the source of truth is God himself, so we need to start with him.
That's deep.
That was very deep. When I came across that, and I thought that when it said, the thoughts, that we dwell on the thoughts that God wants us to dwell on. So many times I know when we're walking, we think we're, I'm not saying we're not, we think we're walking in truth, but it's all about what we want, the thing that we think, the things that what we think. But it's to really walk in truth is to dwell on what God wants us to dwell on. And then that God is the source of truth. It's God himself. That's what we need to start. So I thought that was very interesting. And as it tied in with walking in truth. And as you said, living that life. So it was very, very good lesson. Very good lesson.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Error code 984, last four digits, 1570. Are you on the line? You might have your phone muted.
Yes, good evening. I'm here, Pastor Rogers.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Hope you are. It was truly a good lesson. I guess, as you were teaching, and I was thinking about, like you said, walking in truth, it involves our belief and our behavior. And like today, for instance, I think, I'm going to go back to Sunday or the last Bible study that we had with your teaching and what you preached on Sunday. I got to take that word and I got to apply that word in my life. It's not about walking in the truth. It's not about, at this moment, I'm trying to bring it into my practical everyday living. So at this moment, it's about taking that word that you taught last week and this week and preach Sunday and applying it to my life and walking in it. I can't just keep getting it and not, it's not showing up in my life, but I got to walk in what I'm hearing. And I believe, for instance, when you was talking, preaching Sunday, and you was talking about unworthily, how we can take it unworthy, examining ourselves and basically how you were going with the different things and pretty much how we got to make sure that when we taking the communion that we searching ourselves and we realize that I haven't done everything right, but I still got faults, but I'm trying and I'm striving. And also that next individual, as bad as they may be, they still probably is thinking the same way that we are, because they're taking that truth and they're allowing it to search them so that they can walk in and be better. Or just going on my job today, and I'm thinking about the word, and I'm singing this, my song today have been Order My Steps in Your Words. Show me how to walk. Show me how to talk in your words. In other words, walking in the truth. And so then, and I'm hearing this tonight, so I'm like, okay, God, I see what you're doing. And I heard you when you said many people never even opened the Bible, but they want to tell us what to do and what we should do as a Christian or how we should be living or how we should handle this. But the word of God says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly or standeth in the way of the sinners. And even then we can see what we're rejecting, what they have to say, because we want to continue to stand in God's, live in God's word and what we've been taught. I often tell people, I say, you know what? You can, one deed or one act, one thing can ruin that whole reputation that you have built so many years, that you have worked so many years to build. Just one deed or one act can destroy that whole thing. But we can't allow, because we can't allow people to deter us from what we've been taught and what we know. I'm not so, my focus is not on what that individual and pointing out their area and trying to tell them right from wrong. You live it before them, you know, because so often we so focused on that other individual that we forget that we still got some improvement that we need to do as well.
It's important that we look at ourselves through our spiritual, through a spiritual mirror, because it is so easy for us to get so holier than thou that we forget that we have problems as well. We're not perfect. We'll never be perfect on this side of Jordan. The Bible says you'll only be perfect when you get to glory. So we do have some problems, but we're working. We're striving. We're striving.
Right.
We're praying. We're submitting ourselves to the Word of God. We're doing all that we can on this side of glory to improve our lives and to improve the lives of others that are around us, so that we can walk in that truth. Let me ask you something, Minister. In the last part of that lesson, it says, "Do not even engage with people who come with false doctrine." How do we not do that?
Do not even engage with them.
Right.
I think I can go back to basically just touch a little bit on like what Deaconess Rain came in. You know, I had Jehovah's Witness that came to my house and basically came to the door and pretty much they were telling me, and I straight up told them, I said, I don't believe that. This is what I believe. I believe there is a heaven and there is a hell. And, you know, they believe hell, we in hell now, you know, different things that they believe.
Right.
I said, I don't believe it. And basically, and they done hand you the pen. And this woman, she was quite rude to me. They didn't come in, stand outside, I'm ready for them to go. And her words was, well, give me back my pamphlet because it's just going to end up in the trash can, you right, basically. And so, but I think if we learn how to be as Christians, if we learn how to, at that time, speak the truth and not be ashamed to say what we believe and just say, you know, no, I don't believe that. I don't even want to hear that because the Word of God says this and just keep it moving. But I know, you know, some of us are not going to be that bold, but I believe sometime when, I went to churches. I have went to a church and what was being taught, I did not agree with it. Basically, I don't feel like it was anything that should have been, and maybe I'm wrong, it should have been taught from the pulpit, but it was. But I knew then that I wasn't going back. You know, and I'm sitting there, I think I'm usually when the word is going forth and it's something I'm really attentive and I'm into it and I'm taking in. But this time I'm just sitting there, not sitting in judgment, but I'm sitting there in disbelief and I'm ready to go. But I think at that point, I had enough a God in me to say, okay, when it's time to go, I'm leaving. But yet still, I'm not coming back.
Amen. Amen. Does anybody else have anything else they'd like to add? Anybody else? Anybody else have anything they'd like to add? Minister McCullough, are you still there? Minister McCullough,
yes, I'm still here.
How about give us a prayer?
I'm still here.
How about praying for us tonight?
All right. Okay, let us pray. Father God, as again we come to the end of a Bible study, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, God, for all of those that have joined in, for those who will go back and listen to this Bible study later. We thank you for the manservant, God, who has talked so eloquently tonight. We thank you for those that clicked on and tuned on, God. And we pray blessings upon each and every household that's represented. And, God, we ask pray blessings over First Baptist, God. We ask you to continue to be with us, God. So, God, we pray right now for peaceful night's rest and that we wake up to a brand new day on tomorrow. God, we give you glory and we give you honor. And we say thank you again for this Bible study. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank all of you. Don't forget Sunday, Family and Friends Day. We're going to have a great time in the Lord. Pastor Cobb is going to be there with Oak Grove. And we invite all of our listeners, all of those who are part of the First Baptist family, to be with us Sunday. I think there's going to be a takeout lunch. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Yes.
It's going to be a takeout lunch. Amen. So we're going to have a great time. Come on to First Baptist and let's enjoy Jesus together. God bless you. Have a good night tonight. Thank you all for tuning in.
Good night,
everybody.
God bless. Everyone have a blessed night.
Thank you, too.
You too.
Wanna be there.